Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Scott Ritter. And Scott and I are going to discuss the tumultuous couple of days since the election. So has anything surprised you, Scott?
No, I mean, actually, this was all we're following a carefully scripted, roadmap that Donald Trump himself has set out. I mean, people should never forget that Donald Trump predicted exactly this, not predicted that, cognizable fraud took place. We don't know that yet. But Donald Trump had been saying since late summer that mail-in balloting would lead to fraud, which would lead to manipulated votes, which would lead to the election being stolen from him. I mean, he's been saying this for some time. William Barr, his attorney general, repeated this on national TV in an interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, where he said, "We're playing with fire here." That this voter fraud will lead to a deeply divided country. The Supreme Court has weighed in its in a decision on Wisconsin versus the DNC, where Brett Kavanaugh warned that if you don't vote, count votes on time on election day, it will lead to chaos and anarchy. So this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We knew this was going to happen. There was no way to avoid this. The only way to avoid this would have been if Donald Trump had won an overwhelming electoral victory, in which case he suddenly would have shut his mouth about, the problems with mail-in voting. But the fact of the matter is mail-in voting was widely embraced by the Democrats for two reasons. One, ostensibly, it provided a safe means of voting for people who were concerned about the COVID-19 pandemic. And two, it made it easier to vote. The Democrats have always said that, they felt that, current voting regulations in many states suppressed the vote, made it difficult for people who might be inclined to vote Democrat to go to the polls. And so by opening up the electorate to mail-in voting, the Democrats believed, and I think events have proven them right, that many more people would participate. And Trump saw this. Trump knew this. His advisors knew this. This is why they were against mail-in voting. The bottom line is this was a self-fulfilling prophecy. We knew exactly that this was going to happen. Donald Trump predicted it. Events have played out, and now we move to the court. And the key question here is whether or not the courts will intervene in a way that tilts this election back to Donald Trump.
If there was no coronavirus, how do you think the election would have turned out?
Well, again, there's two aspects to that question. First question is, would we have had the mail-in voting?
Right.
My guess is we would not have. That without the coronavirus, there would have been no impetus for mail-in voting. Two, without the coronavirus, Donald Trump would have won this election hands down. The economy was rocking. And the proof of that is that, in this election, Donald Trump won more minority votes. He won a greater percentage of black men, black women who were supposed to be going against him, white women who were supposed to be going against them. Actually, a majority of white women supported him, Latinos. Other minorities, the so-called disenfranchised that are normally attracted to the Democrats in the premise that the Democrats care more about the working class than the Republicans. Instead, they went over to Trump in numbers that have never been seen before by a modern Republican candidate for presidency. And the reason for this is the strength of the economy. And without COVID, the economy would have been booming, would have been rocking, and these numbers would have been unmatchable by the Democrats. But COVID allowed the Democrats to attack Trump and blame him, transfer blame onto Trump for a flawed response, for not caring about the people. And I think the combined 1-2 punch of, you know, the impact that COVID had on the economy, therefore tamping down the level of you know, of enthusiasm. The enthusiasm was still there, but reduced the number of people who would otherwise have automatically transitioned over to Trump, and then also opened him up to saying you're not an effective leader because you have not handled this crisis properly. And then the last one is by facilitating mail-in voting. COVID killed Trump. I mean, that's the reality. If it weren't for COVID-19, Donald Trump would have handily won re-election, and I don't think there's any debate on that issue.
You know, when you talk about the economy, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Before there's 46 million Americans with student debt, and a lot of the money that could be poured into the economy is is used to pay back that debt. Manufacturing jobs are no longer superior in this country. What do you mean by a booming economy?
Well, the booming economy means that people who are in the lower income brackets have more money in their pocket. It may only be $2,000, it may be $6,000, but it's more money in their pocket. They don't care about the big picture economic analysis that you're discussing. Of course, everything you're saying is absolutely correct. They don't care about that. What they care about is at the end of the day, they've got a job, they've got a paycheck, and they're putting more money in their pockets, able to buy more things for their family. And that is the God's honest truth for a large segment of the American working class. And they saw the potential of that as Trump's manipulation of the economy, and that's what it is. Every president manipulates the economy. Trump's manipulation of the economy was paying dividends at these levels. Yes, we can find segments of the population that weren't doing well, but by and large, statistics show that minority elements, disenfranchised elements of American society, were doing better economically under Trump. Whether or not that was sustainable, whether or not that would be the case at, you know, next year or the year after that, is irrelevant, because on election day, as James Carville famously said during the Clinton years, it's the economy, stupid. People vote their pocketbooks, and
right.
A great number of people were happy by the fact that they had money. And, you know, the question, you know, when COVID came, of course, we have massive unemployment. And the question then becomes, who do they blame? Do they blame Donald Trump for their unemployment, or do they recognize that the unemployment came as a result of a pandemic that nobody could control? The Democrats were putting a hardcore press to convince people that Donald Trump is the reason why they have lost their jobs and weren't getting their jobs and weren't getting a stimulus. And the Democrats were very successful in that. They were able to convince a large number of people that this was Donald Trump's fault. But again, let's just take a look at what happened in this election. Everybody's crowing about how many votes Joe Biden got. And believe me, it's impressive, 70-plus million, more votes than any other candidate got in the history of the American presidential election process. Guess who's number two? Donald
Trump.
Donald Trump got more votes in this election than Barack Obama got, who previously led this. So we can't pretend that Donald Trump is not wildly popular among 50% of the American population. And I would contend that had it not been for COVID, Joe Biden would have had trouble breaking 60 million and Donald Trump would have easily busted 70 million because, you know, he had a formula that he had been preparing for 3+ years to get himself through this election process, a formula based upon the perception, not necessarily the reality, but the perception of economic success. And, if it weren't for COVID, I think that perception would have been embraced by a huge portion of the population. And we see by the numbers that, you know, even under COVID, all these other disenfranchised elements of American society were moving towards Trump in numbers that no Republican had ever seen in modern times. So I think COVID-19 did kill Donald Trump.
Let me bring up one more factor in the economy. Union jobs are almost, they're scarce nowadays. People have no worker protection. People are in low-wage jobs. And I don't see where people are living high on the hog. They're living paycheck to paycheck, right?
Well, look, again, I'm not going to debate you on that one. Donald Trump, you know, his approach to the economy is like a used car salesman. His job is to sell you something. And he was doing a good job of selling that to the American people, pointing to a stock market that, frankly speaking, you know, the vast majority of Americans aren't invested in, therefore they don't have any direct benefit from it. But unless
right.
they have a 401k. And I will tell you this, if you had a 401k, you made money. If you didn't make money in your 401k, then you literally went out of your way to pick the worst stocks in the world. All you had to do was go to sleep with your 401k, and you made money under Donald Trump. End of story. There's just literally no debate about that. Union jobs, I mean, the Republicans have traditionally been union busters. But, you know, Donald Trump did go in and fight for the return of manufacturing jobs in a way that no other president has in modern times. You can't deny that. I mean, his success rate is a debatable point. But the fact that this president has fought for manufacturing jobs that are traditionally union jobs is undeniable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yes, you can speak about the reality of the situation, but it's, you know, politics is up more often about perception than reality. And the perception amongst the working class is that this was a guy who was willing to go to bat for them. Whether or not he actually got a hit is a different question, but he at least articulated a willingness to fight to keep manufacturing jobs in America and bring manufacturing jobs back home to America. And most of those manufacturing jobs, you know, were traditionally union jobs, which is why many union people sided with Donald Trump.
Wow. A question about Obama. The last few days of the election, Obama was stumping for Biden in, you know, a number of states. Would you say that he stumped for Biden, not necessarily for Biden, but to make sure that his legacy was going forward?
Well, I mean, only Barack Obama can answer that question. You know, ultimately what motivated him. We do know that Obama was not a staunch advocate of the Biden presidential bid. He argued with Joe, suggested to Joe that he not run. You don't need to do this, Joe. You know, he was, because of a number of reasons, you know, among which is Joe's age. Obama mm-hmm. may have had some insight into Joe's declining mental capacity. He also mm-hmm. knows Joe. Joe opens his mouth and says things that just come out wrong. He may have recognized that Joe Biden might have been a great vice president for him, but would not necessarily be the best president possible, et cetera. And again, if it weren't for COVID, Joe Biden would not be president of the United States, wouldn't have had a chance. You know, but Barack, you know, and Barack Obama, you know, as much as people love him, I say this about every presidential candidate, they are all narcissists. You don't run for president unless you are the ultimate narcissist. And Barack Obama is a narcissist, and he definitely is about defending his legacy. And he was watching, you know, Obamacare go down the drain. It still may very well go down the drain because the Supreme Court's going to hear that in the lame duck session. You know, but he, you know, he came out in defense of Joe Biden for a number of reasons. One, I truly believe that Barack Obama believes that Donald Trump is a threat to America. You know, Obama's vision of America and Trump's vision of America don't mesh. And Obama truly believes that Trump is bad for America. And therefore, Joe Biden, as bad as he is, in Obama's mind was better than Donald Trump. So I don't think it was just purely selfish reasons. I do believe that Barack Obama believed in what he was doing and was out there and passionately advocated for what he believed was the better outcome, which was Joe Biden, as bad as Joe Biden is, because he doesn't like Donald Trump. We knew that in the lead up to 2016. We know that Barack Obama despised Donald Trump. There's reason to believe that he actively conspired with law enforcement and the intelligence community to undermine a Trump candidacy. He did everything possible to sabotage the Trump presidency in its early months. So there's nothing but bad blood between the two guys. And so I think it was more than just defending his legacy. I think that, Barack Obama despises Donald Trump. And I think a large part of his being out on the stump was not to support Joe Biden, but to go against Donald Trump.
You talk about Barack Obama trying to dissuade Biden from running, but the political establishment rallied around Biden. Why do you think that was the case?
Well, at the end of the day, I think the Democrats were afraid of but when I say the Democrats, the Democratic establishment was afraid of putting a far left or progressive candidate out there, fearing that the American people would ultimately reject it. And, at the time when they made that decision, we didn't have COVID-19. Their concern was if you put somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Amy Klobuchar or Bernie Sanders out there, that Donald Trump just was too strong in terms of the economy, and too many people were looking at the extra money in their pocketbook and would have been able to be convinced during an election season where facts don't matter, perception matters, and Donald Trump would have created the perception of a nation doing very well. And why do you want to risk yourself with these socialists and these progressives? And so the Democratic establishment picked Joe Biden because he was the safest candidate, the most moderate, the most centrist candidate out there, and hoping that he wouldn't alienate too many people. And, I will say this, no other Democratic candidate would have beaten Donald Trump in this election. As much as I dislike Joe Biden, the DNC's decision to go centrist saved them, because every Democrat was going to lose if it weren't for COVID-19. But even with COVID-19, Joe Biden was able to win because he was able to appear to be a moderate, not too much of a radical departure from Donald Trump. And so people reluctantly went over to him. But had you had a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren, I don't think they would have been able to get enough votes to beat Donald Trump.
That's pretty interesting. So as we're taping this, this is 3 days after the election. What do you foresee?
Well, I mean, what I see is Donald Trump refusing to accept this outcome. And I see Donald Trump, trying to create a cognizable legal argument that he can present before a judge so that this can get to the Supreme Court. I think Donald Trump believes that if he can get a viable case before the Supreme Court, that, his 6-3 majority will back him up. I see two hurdles here. One, so far, no judge has accepted any legal argument put forward by the Trump campaign. As much as Trump hates mail-in balloting, and decries its potential for fraud, he has yet to be able to articulate and back up with proof a cognizable case of actual fraud taking place. I don't believe a federal court is going to hear an argument about process, meaning that the process was flawed, that you shouldn't have allowed mail-in balloting because it was susceptible to manipulation. That's not something a federal court is going to hear. They need actual evidence of malfeasance. They need actual proof of illegality that violates the basic civil right of voting. That's why courts get involved. This is about the constitutional right of every American to vote in a presidential election. And if Trump can show that enough Americans were denied this constitutional right, and that number would have changed the outcome of the election, then I believe he will get the Supreme Court to intervene. But this is not like Gore versus Bush in 2000. Gore versus Bush 2000, they were able to get the Supreme Court to intervene before the final count was made. So it's not that you just stop the count, but they didn't reach back in and invalidate votes that had already been counted. Today, for the Supreme Court to reach in, it's not that they're stopping counting, because if you stop counting right now, Biden wins. They would have to go in and invalidate hundreds of thousands of votes, and that's a big deal. That's a major deal, and the only way you're going to get the Supreme Court to do that is to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that these votes were cast illegally in a manner which violated the rights of all other participants in the election. And I don't see Donald Trump being able to do that right now. I mean, if that kind of fraud existed, it hasn't manifested itself in a factually based form right now. So I don't think Trump's going to have much luck. And I think come the middle of December, the Electoral College will assemble and they will certify this election, and Joe Biden will be the 46th president of the United States. How much angst, violence, anxiety, chaos that Donald Trump wants to create in America because of that is a different question, but he's not going to change that outcome. I don't believe that outcome is going to be changed.
We had talked before the election, and one of the things that you had said was you envisioned violence in the streets after the election. That has not happened yet. Are you still expecting it?
Remember, the violence takes place after the vote count is in. All right, today's the first day that we have a vote count that gives Biden the election. Seeks to steal this election and is seen as actively trying to do that. I do believe you're going to see a lot of demonstrations in the street that could manifest themselves in violence. We're not out of the woods yet. I would love nothing more than for the American people just to basically, take a deep breath, go home, sit down, and say, what happened, happened. 73 million Americans are happy about the outcome. Almost 70 million Americans are not happy about the outcome, but it has happened. This happens every 4 years. We have a winner and we have a loser. And the people who lost need to go home, sit down, shut up, and accept it. Unfortunately, we are in a deeply divided country. And if people decide to take to the streets in support of Donald Trump, then I'm concerned that people will decide to take to the streets in support of Joe Biden. And then if they clash, it could lead to violence. So I don't think we're out of the woodwork yet. This election was not called on election night. Had it been called on election night, I think we would have seen violence the next day. But, everybody's been sitting on pins and needles waiting for the final vote count to come in. It appears that it has. And now we have to see, how the president reacts and how the president's supporters react. And if they create a perception of trying to steal this election from Joe Biden, I don't believe that the radical elements that constitute, at least part of Biden's base of support are just going to sit back and let that happen. So I still fear that there's great potential for violence. I hope I'm wrong.
In 2016, when Trump was declared the winner, he was taken by surprise. He didn't think he was going to win, but he did win. If he had lost, there would have been none of this stuff that's going on now with talk of violence and recounts and all that other stuff. He just would have just walked away. Would you agree with that?
Well, I do agree that if had he lost, he would have just walked away. I mean, he would have gone on to become a pundit who would have attacked Hillary Clinton for 4 years. He would have been on all over, reality TV and talk TV and talk radio. And, he would have made a pretty penny doing that. I don't think that. But remember, much of the division that comes today comes as a result of 4 years of the Trump presidency, where the Democrats have spent 4 years attacking this man, attacking anybody who supports this man. I mean, we're at a stage right now where basically, the conventional thinking amongst the Democrats holds that over 70 million Americans who voted for Trump are fascists, racists, idiots, chumps, deplorables, the worst kind of people. When the fact of the matter is, these are American citizens who work, do honest labor, earn a paycheck, attend PTA meetings, raise families. They're cops, they're firefighters, they're teachers, they're people just like their opponents. But because the divisive nature of politics in America today, they've been torn down to be these horrible, horrible people. So I think the political reality that exists today is different than what existed 4 years ago. 4 years ago, look, when Trump got elected 4 years ago, we saw massive demonstrations in the street. They weren't violent, but we saw millions of people get out and protest against his election. I can tell you those people will go out in the streets again if they believe that Donald Trump's trying to steal this election. But this time, I don't believe it'll be peaceful.
Wow. So we're just about out of time. But this is going to be an ongoing drama. Do you think it's going to go past the election? The people, the electors, do you think this is going to go past the Electoral College?
No. The political drama will go past, but, Trump's legal challenge, and that's the phase we're in right now, is the legal challenge. It has to manifest itself quickly. It has to be taken up by a court. And then it has to work through the court system. And the Supreme Court, if it does get to the Supreme Court, they're not going to sit on it forever. It will be a very quick decision because the Supreme Court recognizes there needs to be finality in this process. So
right.
I believe that the legal process will be finished by the time the Electoral College assembles in the middle of December.
Great. So our time is up. And, Scott, I hope to continue this conversation. You've been listening to Scott Ritter. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Scott, we'll talk soon. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.